Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We have some numbers for you because, as you know, I did some analysis on the 2016 election and more analysis on the 2012. Let's just compare some numbers regarding the 2020 election and the 2016 election. I am going to tell you that the numbers have not changed much year to year as far as how many people have voted. And to be honest with you, I don't have all the numbers, because what we really need to look at is we need to look at all the numbers from Congress. And when I say Congress, almost everybody votes for their representative Congress. Every ideologue will always vote their party line or vote somebody in to represent them. The next important vote, or if not maybe more important or equally important, is their presidential vote. And so in 2016, I clearly pointed out that there were 5 million more votes for president than there were for the House of Representatives. And what that means is that there was 5 million votes out there that only had president on it. However, that doesn't tell the whole story, because there was actually more than that that only had votes for president. And how do we know this? Because we know that there were somewhere between 11 and 20 million voters who refused to vote for a Mormon in 2012. So they voted for the representative, they voted on every other issue, but they refused to vote for a Mormon. So what that means is it wasn't just 5 million only votes, because if you believe that 11 to 20 million didn't vote for president but voted for the representative, then there should have been a lot of overage votes in the House of Representatives. But instead, we probably ended up with a reality of 16 million to 26 million votes only for president to basically help Obama beat. And if you look at the numbers between Obama and Romney, Romney actually won that election. Do you understand that? So Romney actually had more legitimate votes than Obama did. And so let's look at the numbers for the 2012 election. And there's basically, I'm going to just say 138 million votes total for president of the Democratic Party and all the other different parties out there. There was a total of 138 million, just rounding it up a little bit. If you look at how many votes were actually cast out of that 138 million, well, it was 65.85 million for Hillary and 62.98. So a good preponderance of that 138 million was the key, you know, votes for president, I should say, for the two parties. Because if you look at Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party, he actually pulled in almost 4.5 million votes. So what does all this mean? Well, if you look at this year's election, there was a total of 148 million. So in other words, basically 149, we're going to round it up, 11 more million votes cast in 2016 or 2020 than 2016. So does that mean that we've had more people injected into the, let's just say, the electorate? Or does that mean that somehow we either have an aberration where so many more people are actually voting when they're, you know, when most people in America are apathetic towards voting? And so the real numbers for both Biden and Hillary, or I should say Biden and Trump, it comes down to 77 million votes for Biden and almost 72 million votes for Trump. So here's the question. If we really have 140 some odd million, almost 150 million votes for president, then where did all these votes come from? Have we had a real tick in growth, or has this been, and I'm going to tell you what the real numbers are. I think there's a lot of numbers out there that are a high number, probably in the millions, of illegal aliens voting. There's just no doubt in my mind. State of Washington allows it. California allows it. But does that necessarily affect all of the states? In other words, because it's about not popular vote, it's about electoral college. But the point in fact is that when we start looking at some of these other states, where did all these other votes come from? And as a matter of fact, anybody that looks at what happened in Michigan, when all of a sudden, I don't know, 100,000, a huge number of votes got dropped in overnight, and every single vote was for Biden. I am telling you, my friends, that there is a real problem, that we have voter fraud rampant in America. And if we're going to save America, we actually have to purge and clean our election system. I've been saying this for a few weeks. There is no doubt in my mind that the Democrats have perfected processes in adding illegitimate votes into the election cycle to guarantee the important victories that they need to implement communism. So, with all of that, we do have even more information regarding the election, but I just kind of wanted to give you the numbers off the top of my head as I've kind of organized some of these thoughts on these votes and how these votes have been tallied and have been basically, you know, flushed out. Because bottom line, Biden is an illegitimate president. When you have illegitimate votes to take somebody over the finish line, yeah, just remember, I mean, shoot, Trump only received 60-some million. He actually grew to 70-some million. I mean, those numbers right there would be that he took 10 million away from the Democrat. Or out of all of the, because if you look, there wasn't 10 million in the third party votes. Between the polarized votes of 2016, he gained 10 million. I can't believe that Biden gained almost 20 million. I just can't believe it. And I refuse to believe it, because I truly believe that there are far less people that live by the law on the conservative right. They just no way they would ever violate the law or do something that they shouldn't do, like voter fraud. But the people on the left will do anything necessary to further their cause. You have to understand the paradigm that the left believes that the ends justify the means. So with that, let me also give you the obligatories. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. That's where you're going to get a lot of really good content, and it's all free, my friends. And you can also go to RepublicReview.org, where we have nothing there yet, because we're still waiting for a state to actually initiate the audit. And once we have a state initiating the audit, that website will be stood up and built, and they will be the front page of that, because basically that's going to be the state that's going to set the decorum for the process moving into Republic Review, as other states finally, you know, recognize that they actually have to step in. They have to exert their authority and their power over the Constitution before it's too late. So the other thing I wanted to also mention, and I always do, this is the only show that I don't care about money. I don't care about anything other than solving the problem and getting the federal government into full compliance with the Constitution. So this is why we give you the academic-based arguments as well as the academic-based evidence of what's necessary in saving our constitutional republic. We already know that social media is our enemy, but I do want to beg, or I beseech you, to help us with our listener drive. If you know like-minded people, send them a link, or actually do yourself a favor, and as you listen, mark the day and then go find that podcast and send them a link to that podcast. If you go to the Reclaiming the Republic webpage and you look for the Red State Talk Radio show or podcast, then you can actually find the day, because we list them by the day. We don't go into the details. I just don't have time to cover all the topics and give you all of the, you know, the notes on the show. When I finally get to a point where I have that level of support, because I can't afford it, then, because I can't even afford the time to do it. But what you do is you just basically click on that link. It'll actually play in your browser. And then what you do is you just copy that URL and send that URL to somebody and say, hey, check out this. Listen to this. Because when we get into content, when I say content, I'm not talking about marketing. I'm going to get through marketing. Today's a marketing day. And we're going to talk about the news and how bad it really is. And then I'm going to, you know, randomly poke you in the eye and say, what is it going to take to get you involved in the solution? I've got a lot of people that are stepping up. Why haven't you yet? Because bottom line, nothing will happen until we start exerting our own energy. Knowledge doesn't become power until power is exerted. So when we get into content, we'll actually cover those ratification debates, all the empirical data necessary to prove that the government is well outside the boundaries of what they're supposed to be doing and the process of getting them back into the framework of the Constitution. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And we ask that you, you know, at least start sharing this content and this information with those out there who are absolutely frustrated. They don't know what to do. I mean, there are people that are, you know, losing sleep. And I really mean they're losing sleep because it is that bad. So what's it going to take to get you to actually start sharing this content? We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
All right, before we get into the news, one of the things that I want to start stressing, because I'm actually working with a few of the state legislators that I actually have a direct relationship with, we're going to try to create... We're going to try to create liberty summits with the state legislators prior to them convening this coming session. Because when they convene, they're already going to have a whole bunch of, let's just call it whoop butt, whoop ass, whatever, that's going to be opened upon them from the federal government. The federal government is going to start mandating a lot of things that will be unconstitutional. And so helping the states understand the Constitution and the limitations on the general government, Liberty Summit, and helping constrain the federal government will be critical. And actually, this will actually help the dialogue start growing in that inner circle. As I said in my book, I don't need to educate everybody to save America. All we need is to educate those, less than 6,000 state legislators, and that would be 100%. But if we educate the state legislators of 6,000, then what we have is the people that have the power. And with that knowledge and power, they can actually step in and ensure that the federal government does not overstep its bounds any further, and even more so, start getting organized and forcing the federal government into compliance. People don't realize the power that the states have. This is why we focus on state legislators. We don't focus on Congress. Congress has no power to change anything for themselves. They only have exclusive legislation in the District of Columbia, and then all other laws must be in pursuant to the Constitution. In other words, the laws that they create have to be tied directly to the enumerated powers. So because there's no enumerated power for the Department of Transportation, everything that they do regarding speed limits and all transportation laws are outside of their control. The only roads that the federal government has responsibility for are post roads, and those roads are the roads that take you from your capital to the seat of the national government, Washington, D.C. So those highways, they do have some control over, but they don't have control over all the interstates and all down to county roads. They have no authority to tax and spend a penny on any of those roads. Now, on top of that, when we start looking at laws in pursuance to the Constitution, they have to be tied directly to those enumerated powers. So education's another one. I could go on and on and on. There's 12 executive departments that are unconstitutional. The Department of Interior was the first, and the Department of Homeland Security. Why is Homeland Security unconstitutional? Because the Constitution points to the militia. The Congress shall have the power to call forth or provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, to repel insurrection, or actually suppress insurrections and repel invasions. That's it. The enforcement of the Constitution and our federal laws is basically relegated in the Constitution to the militia and no other entity. There's never been an amendment to allow the federal government to enforce any of their own laws. Any enforcement must be done by the militia. Now, the court system and everybody has completely bought into this. Now, when I talk to people, and this happened this weekend, I was talking to a good constitutional person that kind of understood stuff. But when I started telling him that, hey, you know, this is how this is to be interpreted, he goes, well, no court will interpret it that way. The one thing he didn't get is something I said earlier, that it is not dependent on a court. The states are the courts and jury. It is up to the states to dictate. Well, yeah, even the courts have overreached their bounds. They have no jurisdiction over this matter. And there you go, because it doesn't matter who's interpreting in a court. What matters is how the states are interpreting their contract and how it was defined in the ratification debates, period. And so if they agree with me, then we're moving forward and we're going to be tearing apart. We'll be the big unemployers of federal government and bureaucracies. And we're going to literally throw the globalists out on their ear, and they're not going to have any control whatsoever. It'll all be gone. Because when you take the political power from the government, from the controls of the two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, and you focus it on a constitutional power, that you only have these constitutional powers and that's it, it takes away this concept of, oh, well, we're going to give you this. No, you can't. The only way you can give the federal government, the only way they can manage or play around with health care, education, the rest of these things, is for us to amend and delegate that power to them. We have to give them amendment. This is why, if you look at the process for Republic Review, we admonish the states not to amend any amendments or accept any amendments for consideration until every unconstitutional power has been placed on a sunset program. In other words, it's all scheduled. People are going to lose their jobs and it's done. Then, and if you want to give it a six-month process, because it doesn't take long, it would not take long for them to actually pass a general power for them to take over health care. And I will tell you that you will not get 38 states to pass that amendment. There's no way. So anyway, let's kind of move forward. But if you know any of your state legislators, you need to make some connections between them and I, or do it yourself. You can schedule time with me to do a Liberty Summit, and you can get your state legislators to, you know, basically pull together a coalition or a caucus of those who are guarding and want to preserve the Constitution, and voila, we will have a very productive Liberty Summit. Now, interesting, we talked about this postal server or this postal worker in Pennsylvania who basically had pointed out that they had, the postal offices and the management of it has basically said, we're going to change the dates on all of these election ballots that we got in the mail. We're going to change the dates to make it look like these were mailed before the election, so that they would have more votes in consideration, because they would take a vote that was illegitimate because it wasn't done on time and make it legitimate. And so this election, or I should say postal worker, came forward and said, hey, you know, there's this fraud that's kind of occurred. And the Times has basically come out and published this report stating that the allegations of voter fraud found in one state election official has been found, the evidence has been found as fraud or fraudulent, and that this person has recanted their story. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you go to Newsmax, you'll find that that person has actually posted on a YouTube page that he has not recanted his position. The other thing is that the New York Times has published a thorough report looking into the Trump campaign allegations of voter fraud and found that not one state election official has found any evidence of fraud. I question the legitimacy or the veracity of those positions that those election secretaries of state or whomever is making these assertions. The Biden campaign, by the way, just so you understand, the Biden campaign raised more than $1.3 billion to advertise and market out there for everybody to vote for him. And they've kind of boiled it down to like $18 a vote. And I don't know how accurate their math is, but I will say this. When somebody is spending $1.3 billion on TV and advertisement, messaging, and everything else just to get somebody elected over the course of a year, or probably since the DNC convention where he was nominated, I'm here to tell you that that means that we're getting the government that money is buying instead of what is best for us. This is why the framers gave us an electoral college and allowed people who understood the Constitution and who would be best to serve us as a president. They didn't believe, and nor do I believe, that the electorate really understands what's best. They just think, oh, well, I'm going to benefit. I'll get more Obama phones and more help if I vote for this person. Well, at the expense of violating the Constitution, creating all sorts of problems, the debt and everything else that's happening, it's all fraud. It's all fraudulent. All that stuff needs to be reconciled. And the day is coming soon, my friends, with this Bolshevik revolution boiling up to a head more and more. We're going to have to reconcile all of these matters and all of these issues, and there are going to be people that are going to be livid. China is not going to be happy when they find out we're not going to pay them a penny on the debt. All the rest of these other countries, they're not going to be happy, but they're culpable in the fraud. They should have known that the federal government has no constitutional authority to spend a penny on social engineering or any welfare program, whether that be corporate, insurance, or even personal welfare. The federal government has no delegated power to tax the people to spend on over 85% of what they're spending their money on. So with that, we're going to be back, and we're actually going to get into some need-to-know news with G. Edward Griffin. You'll always love those little snidbits and those views. So we will be right back with, like I said, some need-to-know news from G. Edward Griffin. So please stay tuned and enjoy these two promos coming up. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And, oh, by the way, you know, 2 days ago on the 9th, Monday, I wished my fellow Marines a happy birthday. I wanted to be the first one to do that. Those who complained I didn't say anything yesterday, well, they must have missed the Monday show. Anyway, one other thing that happens to happen on Veterans Day today that is the really reason and the impetus why I do not really celebrate Veterans Day, because today is the birthday of Washington State. I believe that the state becoming a shareholder, a partaker, an owner, a co-owner of the U.S. Constitution is far more important. And I believe due to constitutional illiteracy, it is far more important for me to recognize and honor a state becoming a partaker and co-owner in the Constitution than it is to thank people for their service. If you understand the impetus behind Veterans Day, it really is a European thing. And I'm not one to believe that government needs to be creating paid holidays, you know, for paying for people for an unproductive time. I honestly believe that people should be honestly compensated for their time, not necessarily. If you want to give them vacation, then let them choose when they're going to have their vacation. Instead of saying, on the 11th of November, you get a holiday, and we're going to have to pay you for that. Hey, I believe that instead of having these mandatory holidays, let companies actually provide for and compete in the market for actual vacation. Anyway, one more thing. Project Veritas is currently offering a $25,000 reward for tips related to election and voter fraud and ballot fraud, both in Pennsylvania as well as other places. Quote, and Mr. O'Keefe has said, several brave insiders have come forward and thousands of other tips related to Pennsylvania alone. I'd love to see people come forward on Michigan, on all of these states. We need to get every state in the limelight to point out that we are basically becoming victims to fraud. And once again, we will have another presidency that will be hopefully not taken. We'll actually be able to take back our elective process, and we won't have a fraudulent president again. Anyway, let's dive into some need-to-know news. Again, this is G. Edward Griffin, and this is probably the most important thing regarding the election. I try to stack these on priority. The Gateway Pundit, which is a website, compiled a list of articles to date where potential fraud has been identified in the 2020 election and actions recommended to be taken to address issues known to date. The numerous accusations of election fraud include ballots with votes only for Biden and nothing else, votes by dead people, votes from felons, votes by children, votes from illegal aliens, people who voted multiple times, newly registered voters over 90 years old, and absentee and mail-in voting scams, as well as discarding votes for Trump and more. It is a wholesale problem. I remember a long, long time ago, people told me, what is the greatest crisis we're facing currently? And it's a crisis every 4 years. It's the election fraud. It's not just 4 years. Every time there's an election, there is going to be a level of fraud. People are buying votes to get the outcomes that they want, whether that be corporations like, I remember Avista, which is the electrical and energy provider up in the Pacific Northwest, and they provide to millions of people, and they were really getting ready to sell to Hydro One or something like that, a Canadian company, who was going to raise the rates astronomically on the Washington, Idaho, on these Pacific Northwest customers. And what was going to happen was they were going to use American subscriptions or us paying for the services to subsidize the Canadians who they're already bilking. I'm telling you, they were in the bed in trying to get, and they paid $100,000 to each of the candidates that were in a city council election. Actually, it was the county commissioners. They injected into two elections to ensure that those people would be elected to help them succeed in selling so that Avista could pocket all this money. The executives got to give. I mean, we exposed all of this right here on this show. And I'm just telling you that this is happening all the time. They're buying votes and outcomes. Anyway, another thing that's going on, Sidney Powell is a former, and this is G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. You need to sign up for this if you want to see other things that are going on that will never get reported. So Sidney Powell is a former federal prosecutor who was the lead counsel in more than 500 appeals and is representing Donald Trump in his fight against election fraud. She said Democrats manufactured 450,000 votes in battleground states that miraculously have only one vote on them, and it is for Biden. Dominion voting systems, the voting software used in 28 states, supposedly glitched, quote unquote, in Michigan, switching 6,000 votes from Trump to Biden. Maria Bartiromo, I probably got that wrong, says Nancy Pelosi's longtime chief of staff is a key executive of that company, Richard Bloom, Senator Feinstein's husband, is a significant shareholder of this company. We find this these associations all the time. And are you kidding me? What the heck? People that we elect to office should be barred from having any associations and ties. I mean, I'm sorry. Your husband is not entitled to be able to be a facade for you to be able to steal elections or to funnel money to so that you can get money into your bank account and enrich your lives. That's how bad it is. So here's a preview on social justice, and this is from the Need to Know News, and this is what's happening in South Africa regarding social justice. Brendan Horner, 21, a white farmer manager, was found tied to a post, tortured, and had numerous broken bones, stab wounds, and was strangled with a rope around his neck as he was murdered. On October 6th, enraged farmers gathered at the courthouse demanding justice against the two suspects in the Horner murder. The protesters turned over a police car and set it on fire, and there is a perception the police are involved in crimes against farmers. The police are seen as useless in stopping farm murders and other crimes, while politicians seeking to grab the land ignore farm murders, and some even encourage it. The governing African National Congress has endorsed a policy of expropriation of land. Now, just so you understand what expropriation of land is, this is an action by the state or by government or an authority of taking property from its legal owners for public use or benefit. Anyway, moving on. Jerry Griffin completely goes on to complete this and saying, without compensation, these people are taking these farms. Parliament has begun the process to enact the law. These types of things will be coming here soon. Do you happen to own a lot of, I'll just say property, woodland, or land just sitting out there? They have been working and working and stealing that land from you. And one of the ways they've been doing that is they've been passing laws to say that because that land does not have utilities and services, they've passed a law that says you can't put a well on that land to try to save these aquifers and these well waters and so forth. And I'm here to tell you, friends, we happen to straddle the world's largest aquifer up here in the Pacific Northwest. And this thing will never run dry because of the way the weather patterns work. And as far as I'm concerned, I've said this before, I cannot understand why some of the Western states and the Southwest, you know, from basically the Rocky Mountains all the way down, why most of these states from Utah, Arizona, even Idaho, the eastern sides, California, and possibly even New Mexico and some other states, why they have not basically requested to create an aqueduct that would allow the piping of water from the Pacific Northwest, where there's constant flooding problems all the time. Well, why don't we move that, all that excess water, out to the areas of agriculture where they, you know, they could really benefit in the Arizona valleys and so forth? And it would take a lot to do, but over time we would be able to sustain the population and the growth in those areas and actually allow people to move out of the coastal areas and back into what I would consider, you know, the prime real estate of America. Anyway, here's another one that is really important that we want to get into, and I'm looking, I got less than 30 seconds left. This next one is a specific open letter written to President Trump, and it is coming from Catholic Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigiano. And so we'll get back after this because I want to get into this because he's basically talking about and exposing the global elite's plan in basically trying to take down these conservative leaderships within government and so forth to ensure the globalist elite to seize control and subjugate the world's people so that we become serfs. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so Catholic Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigiano wrote an open letter. This is need-to-know news. You need to sign up for this stuff. Wrote an open letter to President Trump criticizing the Great Reset that the Archbishop said was a plan by the global elite to subdue all of humanity. This is to be accomplished by destroying the natural family, respect for human life, love of country, freedom of education and business, and using the COVID-19 health emergency to establish tyranny. He explained that the purpose of the reset is to impose a dictatorship by establishing a universal basic income and the cancellation of personal debt. I'm telling you, there's lots of WIFMs out there, what's in it for me type of people, that would jump at the ability to, you know, there may be people out there trying to assemble a bunch of debt right now just so that they can say, okay, I'm going to wipe this clean and move forward. And they have no idea the trappings they're diving into. In exchange, giving up, you know, having this personal debt wiped away, in exchange for giving up personal property and agreeing to accept vaccinations. He wrote, the people who reject these measures will go to detention camps or placed under house arrest, and all of their assets will be confiscated. Vigiano wrote that though one who occupies the chair of Peter, another name for the Pope of Pope Francis, has betrayed his role in the church as an obstacle to evil in order to promote the globalist ideology. He tells Trump, your adversary is our adversary. It is the enemy of the human race. He who is, quote, a murderer from the beginning, close quote, a quotation from John 8:44. Another story here for you, but I'm, you know, these things are starting to come out. And I'm hoping people are actually recognizing this, but that's not mainstream news media type of stuff there. Another story, though, is an insider within the Sunrise Movement and other radical organizations leaked recordings of Zoom chat meetings involving the Shutdown DC movement. Organized leftist groups, including Democrats, Black Lives Matter, Antifa and many others are planning to lay siege to the White House, shut down Congress and Washington, D.C., starting on election night. And we've kind of seen how the outcomes, I'm telling you, they're waiting in the winds to where we start counting legitimate votes and throwing out other votes. I already told you about the disruption progress and how they're going to use, you know, this mantra of count every vote, count every vote, count it, because they know if they count illegitimate votes, Biden wins. So anyway, in major cities across the U.S., they're also targeting for disruption in order to overthrow the government if Donald Trump is reelected. And right now, everybody has declared Biden the winner, even Fox News. You start to wake up and smell the coffee, Fox News is not your friend. An organizer for Momentum, a training organization, said that if he has 1,000 people, he can shut down 4 or 5 highways and put a city into shackles. Video shows a discussion about training for high-risk actions and violence, including disabling vehicles and taking over government buildings. Lisa Fithian, a longtime organizer of radical groups, falsely claims that white militias are armed groups who shoot leftists and drive cars into protesters instead of people who are armed to defend life and property against the leftists who are the initiators of the violence. She, what was her name again? Let me see here. Lisa Fithian. She was trained by Abby Hoffman, who organized the 1968 riots and the Democrat convention. She said that if Trump fails to concede, leftists may, quote, talk, close quote, to Republicans to pressure him to leave office. She seemed to be referring to a list of people across America who donated to Trump that was published online to intimidate them. Another video segment shows organizing federal employees, many of whom work in security and intelligence. They talk about weaponizing the bureaucracy to manipulate and leak information. Participants in these meetings, who must be aware their words are being recorded, are openly talking about committing treason to the United States, and they have no apparent concern about being held responsible. This is how bad it has gotten. You got to understand, if that's a person that is an elected official, they violated Section 3 of the 14th Amendment by not supporting the Constitution and giving aid and comfort to rebellious behavior and rebellions against the Constitution. So in other words, they're to be removed from office and banned for life. We have all the power. Only the Lord knew what we would need to be able to save ourselves from the grasp of this evil that we are facing today. And he's given it to us. It's all right there in the Constitution and within our, the foundation of our legal system. So here's a little proof that white liberals are the real racists. G. Edward Griffin, an analysis of nearly 100 arrest records, found only 32% of those arrested listed Seattle as their hometown. While the majority were from communities outside the city, nearly 50% of the people arrested during Seattle's violent demonstrators were white. 18% were black, and 28% did not have the race listed on the reports. Arrest reports indicate the common thread among most suspects is their hostility toward government, the police, and corporate America. Interesting. So in other words, these are hardcore communists. City prosecutors have declined to charge 143 suspects, and about 110 others are awaiting charging decisions. Of 8 cases where charges have been filed, the city attorney's office dismissed the complaints in 6. So that's a high percentage, my friends. What is that? Let me see here. That's 75%? There you go. One of the most disturbing videos of the riots was of a man smashing a baseball bat into the head of a Seattle police officer who was wearing a bike helmet. Jacob Greenberg, 19, the stepson of former Kirkland State Representative Laura Ruderman, is accused of the attack. My friends, this is exactly what you can expect in all major cities, especially where the Democrats have a strong foothold. One of the things we've learned is as they tried to create levels of pressure, these guys move around. They noticed that in Louisville, some of those people from Seattle and Portland were showing up there to try to create a perceived increase, because what ends up happening is once they get some protests going, then they go somewhere else to get others to start coming. So there's these professional protesters that are traveling around the United States. And if we start arresting them and stopping them from travel, that will stop the instigation in new cities and in new areas, and would probably actually be able to, we'll be able to limit, if not fully quell, most all or suppress most of these insurrections. Here's the facts, my friends. The Constitution does not guarantee you a right to protest. Your right is to peaceably assemble in an area that is designed for assembly of people. The city streets and sidewalks are areas and avenues of commerce. And every city, every state, every county, every municipality has laws on the books that do not allow the blocking of avenues of commerce. Everybody has a right to obtain property. That is a constitutional standing, and it was in Madison's essay in 1792 on property. We've already gone through this. And so my point is that there is no right to protest. And in America's first protest, which was the Whiskey Rebellion, every single one of those protesters, well, at least 24 of them were arrested for treason, and two were convicted for treason. Show me where a person has the constitutional right to protest and do this crap. There is no evidence. This is why we start these shows off telling you, we give you the empirical data and the academic evidence to prove that we've been bamboozled into believing that these people have a constitutional right to be out there protesting and doing all of these crazy things. Anyway, Scotland's proposed hate crime bill, just so you know, another G. Edward Griffin need to know news, their proposed crime bill would go so far as to criminalize dinner table conversations if their offensive content is reported to police. The new bill would add an additional crime of stirring up hate against a protected group by behaving in a threatening or abusive manner or communicating threatening or abusive material to another person. The law has dire implications for free speech. Comedy journalists, writers, and theater directors have, you know, basically said the same thing. When rules are unequally applied to people based on physical characteristics, it creates resentment by the group that is excluded, and it is divisive. The mandate creates a hierarchy with the rulemakers at the top consolidating power. I just want you to understand, this is the direction that social justice will take us. It will take us down a path of lawlessness and ridiculous draconian laws, as well as totalitarianism and despotism. What's it going to take to get you involved? I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. Our next episode will be a little more marketing for you. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.